past week, the two most important central banks in the world have met and have issued statements of where they think the monetary policy is going and where they think their economy is going. First of these that met was the Governing Council of the European Central Bank, and they met on their Thursday, but early Friday morning our time. And that, in doing so, they provided an outlook, not just for monetary policy, but really the discussion that was involved was about European growth. What appears to have happened is that there has been a very slight downtick in growth, and there has been a very slight downtick in leading indicators of growth, in particular indexes of investment sentiment. Now, earlier in the week, I published our model, the model of US growth that we show in our quarterly presentation, and that's based on the Chicago Fed National Activity Indicator. In our quarterly presentation, we also publish a model of growth in the euro area, and that is based on the European Commission Index of Business Sentiment, and which is really an index of business investment intentions. And that doesn't go back anything like as far as the Chicago Fed, because of course the euro area only came into being in 99, so it's a shorter series. And for that, that may be the explanation that the explanatory power of the model for the euro area year-on-year growth is a bit better than is the case in a US model, whereas a US model explains 80% of year-on-year variation of US growth. The European model is pushing 90%, just under 90% of growth. Now, what we've had over the past year is we've had a significant recovery in growth, and we've had a significant recovery in this index. So this business survey a year ago, an April ago, was at 109 points. Now it's at 112 points, still going up, and then there's a rising trend. And at the same time, growth in the European economy has risen in year-on-year terms from 2.1% April last year to 2.5% now, is still in a rising trend. And our model, of course, is higher. Our model is tend to run a little bit higher than actual GDP because the index is kind of way higher. The index itself of business sentiment is the highest since 2006, whereas growth is nearly the high is merely the highest since 2010. But our model has also risen from 2.3% April last year to 2.8% now. Well, what's the problem? What's the problem with growth, you say? Well, the problem is that a couple of months ago, all of those numbers were slightly higher than they are now. Instead of 112, the index was 115. Instead of growth at 2.5, which it is now, growth year-on-year growth in euro area is 2.8%. And our model, instead of being 2.8 now, was about 3.2%. But if I look at that, if I look at the model, and you'll see in the quarterly institutional presentation that that model is still in a rising trend. You've had a small drop in a rising trend, and a still appears to be a rising trend of European growth, with European growth continuing to rise, and we would expect it to be stronger in a year's time than it is now. But it's kind of interesting that there was a lot of market reaction to that discussion by Mario Draghi, particularly the discussion in the press conference after the Governing Council meeting, in this discussion of the slowdown in European growth. And I think the result of that is what we've seen in the last week. Is we saw a sell-off in the euro, we saw a rally in the US dollar, and that's had a bit of an effect on some commodity prices, including oil. But what I'm saying here is I think that's a short-term function, and growth in the euro area is still very strong. Now, when we turn to what the Fed was talking about, it was a completely different issue. The other thing that central banks talk about, instead when they're not talking about growth and that, is talking about inflation. And what was really interesting about the Fed statement is that it's really a change of language towards the idea that they are near to achieving their inflation target of 2%. So what could they possibly mean by this? Well, the way central banks look at inflation is they have measures, as we do in Australia, of core inflation. And one of the measures we have of core inflation is the trimmed mean. That is to take you take out the statistically volatile items, and you have where most of the numbers were going. Now, most of the numbers here is what we're measuring here is the personal consumption deflator, which is part of GDP. The Fed now bases its inflation target on 2% inflation in the personal consumption deflator, that is to say, the same deflator that's used in GDP. And why does it do that instead of using the old CPI? The reason it does that is because there are changes in consumer tastes within the US. And instead of buying things in malls, consumers are now buying things online. And the result of that, they're actually buying them at cheaper prices on average online than they are buying them at prices in the malls. And so what actually happens is that inflation number tends to run lower than the old core CPI. But if I'd made a comparison, I'd say that the inflation target or the inflation level is about 0.5% lower for the core personal consumption deflator than the CPI. So that means that the Fed has a target of 2% on the personal consumption deflator, and that's equivalent to 2.5% on the core CPI, which is, by the way, exactly what the RBA's target is. So even though the language is different, the RBA's target for inflation is the same as the Federal Reserve. Now, when both of these central banks talk about their targets, they use measures like the trimmed mean. The trimmed mean, like I say, was invented by the Dallas Fed. Now, if we look at the year-on-year measures of the trimmed mean, gee, it is significantly stronger, I have to say, than it was, in the middle of last year. This number was increasing at a rate of only 1.4%. Now, what you've seen is an acceleration. This is the 6-monthly annualized rate, which is published by the Dallas Fed, says the inflation has now hit 1.98%, which is near as damn the Fed target of 2%. So they really are moving up that line. Now, in order to forecast this, now that the market is paying this a lot of attention, it also looks at a monthly number, which is put out by the Dallas Fed, which is the monthly annualized inflation level of the personal consumption deflator. Now, I talked a bit in the early part of the week about how Americans do things. They take the last number and they multiply it out to what the annual growth is. And that's exactly what they do here with the trimmed mean of the personal consumption deflator. And boy, has this kicked around a lot in the last couple of months. A couple of months ago, it was running at about 2.8% quarterly annualized. Now, I think that's what provoked the sell-off in bonds and the rise in bond yields. But what's happened since is this core inflation indicator has dropped in half from about 2.8% to about 1.4%, which is why we've seen that sell-off in bonds followed by a bond rally. But the Fed is right. Inflation is getting up to hitting their target of 2%. And that means, as they say in their statement, they're going to keep a gradual tightening of monetary policy. And we believe that they'll have a rate hike each quarter, between now and the end of next year.